The Merwin Gallery showcases the Faculty Biennial, currently up through October 17th. The show highlights the varied artistic talents of the professors in the School of Art, including Connie Estep, Joshua Lowe, Claire Hedden, and Carmen Lozar, who curates the galleries as well as teaches glass. Also, there's a work by design professor Mark Genrick. He's created a massive roundish sculpture, black on the outside with portholes to the inside of the work that reveal reflective surfaces. A light shining from within projects moving abstract images across the wall. Carmen Lozar says it looks great in a lit room, but it is even more spectacular when the lights are doused.
And it makes for a great selfie when you look through one side and you can see someone else's face or yourself in these reflected mylar surface that's on the inside. It's a quite a large, ambitious sculpture. It's called Reflection Chamber, but his second title for it is Crazy Diamond.
Did he talk about what inspired him?
I think that Mark is incredibly inspired by form, and as well as reflection and movement. And his work tends to be quite formal as he investigates shape. But also, I think he always has this component of light and componentry as well, I would say. His work seems to really be about putting together parts and pieces to make a whole. And you can see that in the way this piece is built. It's very calming in a way to sit and look at the walls with these kind of circles traveling around on you, around you, and onto the other artwork as well.
So I guess we better put the lights on so we can see the other artworks. So let's actually go to the back. And we have Connie Estep.
Connie Estep is our painting and drawing professor. She is an amazing teacher. They say she can teach anyone to draw. She really is an amazing draftsperson, but also includes quite a bit of narrative and storytelling, just a bit of storytelling into her work. And
I'm glad you said that, because when I first looked at these, I thought, you know, they looked like illustrations from an old children's book that I might have found in a vintage store somewhere. There's whimsy, but there's also melancholy and great beauty.
I would agree with you about the whimsy and the melancholy, absolutely. And I think she uses a lot of old text as reference, you know, clip art, really old clip art, and things like that. And I think the titles on these are really poetic as well. They are all in one series. And if you look at the titles, there's Last Wish, Last Wind, Last Heart. Like, they're really beautiful. They seem to be about some sort of closure
loss, yeah.
And loss. Yeah. And then there's this sense of beauty as well that kind of is carried throughout each one. She's a great teacher, and I always love it when the teachers show what they're teaching and the students get to come down and say, oh, wow, now I know why I'm taking the class from that person, because they're very, very skilled. She's very skilled at drawing.
So is that really the core push behind doing a faculty biennial?
I think it's one of many components that makes the show always interesting to the community and the students. You always want to see who you're learning from. You always want to see what they can do as well. I think it's also a chance for really the faculty to say, this is who we are. Truly, we are teachers and we love to teach, but we're also practicing artists, and we exist in the world in a different way than just as a professor.
So moving along, we have some work in ceramics. So I know this is Claire Hedden.
Yeah, she's really an amazing artist. I'm always happy that I get to work with such amazing people, and Claire is one of those people. She constantly is impressing me with her skill and her ideas, and what she comes up with that to me is so different from the other work in the show. She has taken kind of this idea of a candle holder, something very simple. And she has probably, within this show, 20 variations on that idea, all working with line and shadow, with these really beautiful kind of handmade thin structures. And each one, you think you have one picked out that you just is really your favorite, most unique, and then you look next door to it and you go, oh, but maybe I really enjoy that one as well. So it's amazing to me how many variations she can come up with and how gorgeous and delicate each one is. You know, they really do lend themselves to being picked up, to be carried around. They really look like an object that people could live with in their home and have on their table. And to me, I think that's quite a successful thing.
So let's move down a ways in the gallery, and we come upon the work of Joshua Lowe, and it's called Tally Marks.
Yeah, and this is a special person in this exhibition because he's our newest faculty member here. So he is our new graphic design faculty. One of the reasons these are such incredible wall pieces is because he's a graphic designer. When we think of graphic designers, we think of people doing work for other people. So like you're making business cards, you're making two-dimensional work, basically representing someone else. Josh is obviously an artist in his own right. He's created these six pieces that are called tally marks. And as I look at them and you look at they're each individually titled. One's titled Ike Slept Under the Stars, 1965 to 74, West of the Mississippi. They all have these very Ike and Terry John planted seeds, 1977 to 78. So they're very interesting. They're possibly about people. They have that long linear quality of a person.
They have sort of a wood frame around them, and there's a metal bar going across, and he's strung various things, mm-hmm. various materials, threads and such, and there's also nails that have been pounded into it and incorporated as well. He's incorporated cigarettes and also clothespins.
Clothespins at the end. So there's some narrative, some vague narrative happening here that's referencing, I think, people he knows or a time from the past. And they're just beautifully made. When you look at these frames, these maple frames, they're just so gorgeous. And you don't often think of a designer working in a three-dimensional way. So we're so excited to have him because it makes an impression on our students when they see us working in various medium.
And last but certainly not least, Carmen, it's you.
It's me. I do
your
love
work.
I do love your to get to show in this.
Glass works and some found objects as well incorporated here. And of course, when I look at these wonderful objects like Nurse Log, we have a woman stretched out on glass and there's something growing out of her. And I want to say, whimsy. Does the word whimsy, is that okay with you? I don't know. I don't know if some
artists
would appreciate that.
First of all, they're figurine-like. They're very small, so they go to that tradition. They're small, they're narrative, they're mixing, you know, reality and fantasy a bit. So I think whimsy is fine. And I think that they're sweet. A lot of them are sweet pieces. I have found that since having children, my work has gotten a little more sweet, which is always, you know, you
so
change.
So you're picking up from your kids?
Yeah, I think you fluctuate, you know, through your life as you grow and change and have new experiences. So yeah, like this piece, Nurse Log, has an actual small tree and plants, mushrooms growing out of this glass figure. A nurse log is something that we don't necessarily have around here, but in the Northwest, when a great tree is felled in the forest, other plants use that to grow out of and start new life.
So it is nursing them along.
Right, and I think of that in terms of like our relationship to the world, and you know, not only just through plants. This is really just a metaphor for a larger idea.
Next to it is one you have glass and wood incorporated, a figure, and the figure sitting on the block, and it's entitled "Tied in Knots," and a glass yarn ball. Mm-hmm. And her head looks like it's all tied up in yarn as well. I have to know the inspiration for this, Carmen.
I think that just our lives. It's just about our lives today. We are asked to do so much and to be so much. And we look every direction and try to do every little thing. And really, it does end up tying us in knots. And it's hard to focus and take time for ourselves. So it's a very simple idea behind that piece. I think it's just a very straightforward. I think that day I made it, I was just really feeling rushed. And you know, multitasking, a little too much multitasking.
And you can't rush through glasswork either.
No, and you have to have the time and the experience and the willingness to invest in that time for a good solid day or two if you want to make something.
Next to that is one called Simply Fight, and here you have incorporated some found objects, a ketchup, a little packet of ketchup, and a little packet of mustard, and out of them grow these figures, and they're fighting, and it gives us the age-old debate, you know, are you a ketchup person or are you a mustard person?
Absolutely. And this again goes back to having children and relating to them. And they're like, I have two daughters that are 2 years apart and they love each other dearly, but boy, they do fight a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they are so different, they're just scrapping around all the time. And so I don't think that they recognize themselves in this piece, but to me, it's very clear who these two characters are.
And one next to it, bubblegum.
Yes.
As well, we have charming figures coming out of wads of bubblegum.
Yes. And I think that I try to use glass as a material that responds to what I'm making. It's the best thing if you can combine your material with your idea. So in the case of the spilled ketchup or the spilled mustard, it has that shiny quality. It's kind of liquidy. It's able to look like it's coming out of those packets. With the bubble gum, you as well have this ability to stretch glass and make it look sticky and wet. So I find that using glass as a material to create imagery with spills and wet things or things that are food-like is one of my favorite things to do.
How do you balance your demands? You have demands as a teacher, you have home demands with the family, and then, of course, the studio is always calling.
It's a really hard thing. In fact, this morning before I came in, I was in the studio working frantically for a little bit. And what the studio does is I think it tends to fill an artist up and make them a happier person. So even just a little hour or two I got this morning made me feel kind of refreshed and ready for the day and more internally satisfied with everything. So yeah, I think there's always that demand and the studio is always calling. That is very true. And then there's times that I have to say, okay, I'm juggling a lot and it won't always be this intense and I will have time for the studio. I have to think towards the future and say, you know, summers, it's really wonderful when you're a professor and you can concentrate during those summer months on your practice.
That's artist, professor, and curator Carmen Lozar. The Faculty Biennial continues through October 17th at the Merwin Gallery. I'm Laura Kennedy.